Good morning, Patriots. And it is Friday. Incredibly. I actually had to look at the calendar to determine if that was right. It's crazy. This week has gone by. Yet another week has raced by. And we get out here and we're like, oh, what just happened? Another week of Joe the hand puppet is still in the news. And Camilla the Muppet is still doing those dances with him. It's amazing. We've got mattress back Camilla sleeping around the world, enjoying her time snuggling in with all the world leaders. Ugh, that just is about enough to make you want to throw up your coffee right there. Ugh. And then you've got Hand Puppet Joe, which, by the way, I did mention this. Joe Ray Perkins, who is a Senate candidate in Oregon, she's the candidate that was actually won the race. That's before they put the election results through the algorithm in the cloud that magically came out the other side with her losing. But, of course, we know there's no such thing as election fraud. That doesn't happen. And it wasn't even a Dominion system. It's just the way the entire system was rigged. I hope everybody understands that every single election in every single state is rigged. It's just a matter of which ones they focus on. And in this last election, they just focused on a couple of them. So it's a wonderful world we live in. But anyway, Joe Ray was in D.C., the other day. I asked her to check on some things for me. And one of the things she was reporting back was that there is no activity in the city. Now, this is always phenomenal to me because we're apparently supposed to have a government. Not really sure where it is right now. But it's dead silent there. And I can already, you know, there's always wonderful because when you tell this to people that are like ardent believers that the system is okay, and then you're all tin hatters. They're like, that's just because, and then they'll start with the litany of excuses. That's because they're all social distancing and they're doing, and they're being safe. And it's like, okay, calm down. You know, like your world is going to collapse. I'm just not going to help it go too fast for you. But here's what I'd like you to think about. And you can put these numbers out. How many people do you think are really in DC? Well, I saw them at the State of the Union. That's when you have to correct him. You're like, it wasn't a State of the Union. It was a speech to Congress. It's the same thing. It's like, no, it's not. Sorry. But okay, keep going. Then they go into the next thing. And they're like, well, okay, but there was at least 100 people there. It's like, okay, let's just say there's 100 people there. Did they have a staff? Well, I think so. Do you think all the staff is there? Well, I'm sure there's social distancing. So you're telling me that there's a congressman up there that doesn't have a staff. Why don't you call every one of their offices for me and tell me who answers the phone? Because if the congressman doesn't answer the phone, I think we can start watering this down. So we'll just be really kind, and we'll say that just 100 congressmen in D.C., everyone else is social distancing for whatever reason. I don't know. And I don't know what they're doing from home anyway. They don't do anything in D.C., so at home it means they're even doing less. And then we're going to add 100 staffers. That's 200 meals every morning, 200 meals every afternoon, 200 somethings every time they do something. So where's the restaurants that are delivering them? That's just a simple question because apparently they're all being social distanced. They're being safe. The answer is it's not there. So I don't know where everybody is. But I think we can imagine. It isn't adding up. And that's the hardest part about this time and what really makes this period of time so important to have ourselves grounded in faith. What you're witnessing and what everybody's witnessing in the news is utter lies. We are living in what effectively could be called a post-truth era. And this should be the the reawakening of love of God era at the same time, because the only direction that we're going to find here, it's of any substance to keep ourselves in the right path, the only truth you're going to find is going to begin with Scripture. Now, there's people out here that when they hear this, they shake their head. It's like it's a book. It's like, no, it's not. This is the guideline to how to live. This is the insight to who we are as humanity. These are the parameters which give us a boundary left and right. And when we take that away, we ultimately go into free fall. We've been deeply programmed for most of our lives, all of us, and all of us in one fashion or another have to go through a deprogramming in order to appreciate where we are, where we're going, and ultimately why we are here. We are not born into this world to become debt slaves. We are not born into this world to make whatever choices we want to make. What has been effectively suppressed for most everybody is to understand that the minute that you are brought into this world, you are now living under a contract of consequences. As a parent, when you bring in a child, there is a contract of consequences. God has given you a gift, a child, to nurture, to protect, to raise up in His glory. And if you fail to do that, you fail a very component, it's a critical component of your contract. And when you fail that critical component of your contract, it moves you closer to the lake of fire and farther away from God. As people grow up, they're expected to be raised in an environment that loves God so that God's kingdom can expand. That's part of the contract. It doesn't say raise your child, flip their gender, and turn them into a biologic freak. The accountability for that rests on the shoulders of the parents. And it gets into some very heavy scriptural pieces there that warn us as to what happens when you harm the little ones, God's gift. The Bible's an interesting read on so many levels because there is the love and compassion which is there all the time. But there is a very definitive understanding that in the world of God and the world in which we live, there are consequences. And people don't like that idea. That's another one of these things that's been taken out of our teachings, out of the very core of the way that this matrix of a world is being run. And they do it intentionally. Because by taking away the idea that there's consequences, people feel that they are free to do whatever they want. But let me just remind you of Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's a very powerful and profound statement. It doesn't say that I'll think about it. It's a very clear issue that God will not just, that God not only has the power of vengeance, but that He will repay. When we read Scripture and when we build this true relationship with God, as was given to us ultimately through the sacrifice of Christ, the idea that we each have access to the Father through Christ to the Father. The principle there is that we are no longer dependent upon the temple. The Pharisees were, in the many stories, the representative of the temple. and they were the screeners of people, of what they were trying to teach people, that through them was to heaven. We have that access through Christ. That very critical node there is, when we understand that, you begin to understand the accountability of that. Through patterns and through habits, people have gone to church for many years, and sadly, many have been led astray. So many of our churches have become corrupted corporate institutions. Their principal role as a church has been an engine to raise money for themselves, for their overheads, for their salaries, not for the benefit of the community, not for their primary mission, which is to look after the children and to ensure the safety of the elderly and then the well-being of the community. The church has moved from being the center point of moral guidance in our communities to a large degree to becoming a head nod of compliance with tyranny. What an amazing shift that has happened in 240 years. Historians will write and do write that the Revolutionary War could not have happened, would not have happened, had it not been for the pastors and their teachings about tyranny. And yet today, here we are with the mass of sheep lining up to get their inoculation, get themselves chipped, tagged, monitored, tracked, whatever else. Next thing you know, they'll be lining them up and telling them that to solve COVID, you have to pull your pants down and get a brand on your butt. And I guarantee you, if they do that, the number one advocate for that will be the corrupted churches. They will tell people to comply. This is where our churches have become. They have become a hand in the darkness of control. And it's a sick statement to where we are. But that is easily resolved when we have the courage to step back and to begin our relationship with God through the scripture and text. And as we do that, and as we read through that, we step away from the church and we do something else more profound. We follow Apostle Paul and we bring the churches into the home. That means you bring in prayer study, whatever you want to call it. You don't have to call it a church if you're uncomfortable. But we bring the worship of God back into our homes, and we start to share this experience with one another, and we start to talk about the teachings, and we let God guide us. Now, why is this so important? People have not had a Bible all their life. Where are the Bibles in Christ's time? There are teachings, and those teachings many times were either things that they were had been passed around, or they were things that were orally taught. So it is a critical part here to realize that we have that relationship through Christ to the Father. And as we do that, we begin to awaken the true teachings for God to fill us and guide us. I'm not taking away from the amazing pastors that are out here doing good work, but I am highly cautioning everybody at this point in time to put your dependence and worship on the temples of these corporate institutions. And it's a necessary part here. And it's not to create an environment of dislike to the church. Instead, it's creating an environment where you don't put your dependence upon the church. Your relationship is to God through Christ. It is a critical component of discernment at this point in time. And we have to be that discerning in this period of time. Deception is everywhere, and it goes back to where I said earlier, everything in the news is a deception. Unfortunately, most of the things in churches are a deception. And it just makes you wonder. I always wonder what's in their soul when they stand up there and they lie to people like they do. And I've seen enough of it to shake my head going, man. This other sad part is people are in real need of great spiritual guidance and leadership. Not everybody feels safe in this direct relationship with God, which is very unfortunate because that's where it's most powerful. People seek fellowship, and that's where churches bring in fellowship. But once we start to fire up that engine, and the church becomes a business enterprise, start watching the teachings go right down the toilet. And it is all of the lines start to be blended. You start to hear these messages of tolerance that become the messages of compliance. Very dangerous line to walk. Churches aren't there to invoke the power of the tyranny of the state. Their role, as it was in this beginning of our nation, is to speak to the line of truth and strength in Christ, to understand exactly where that line is that we cannot cross. And that isn't a defined line. It's not like you can step outside with a piece of chalk and put it on the ground and go, okay, I'm not going to go here. It's a moving target many times in our life with many of the topics. Many of these subjects are not easy. I'll give you one. How do we deal with, and truly I mean what I'm saying here, in a Christian sense, when we have some very hard feelings towards, and hard, not just feelings, we have some direction in terms of gay, lesbian, transgender relationships. It's defined very clearly in Scripture. So let's take this to another level. How do we as Christians, and by the way, this is not a question I'm going to answer. It's a question I'm going to drop to reflect upon, to be clear about this. And that's not an escape because I don't think this question I'm about ready to answer has a defined answer. Okay, not yet, anyway. But how do we deal with the youth whose parents guided them, misdirected them, got them on beta blockers, and flipped their gender when they were young, that are now stuck in another gender that they never wanted, that they never were? See, that requires an incredible amount of, we have to be forgiving there. We have to be guided by that. And we have to seek to provide that healing and nurturing that God would expect us to do. That is not on the child. And if part of that is they're now stuck, that's going to be one of those moral places that we have to help them through that. Because if you don't understand beta blockers, once they get to a certain age, they can't go back. And that's this torture that these parents are putting their kids through. This is the power of faith, and it's equally the challenge of each of us to be listening closely to God. Because in the end, God has created all his children. We all have a choice. We all have a contract when we're born. We have a contract to make a decision to reclaim him, to rejoin with him, or to use our free will to go away. And each step that we make is a step in one direction or the other. This idea in life that we can sit in the middle is another one of the brainwashings that goes on in this world. This idea that you don't have to really make a choice on anything, that you can get up in the morning, have your coffee, read your paper, get in your new car, old car, doesn't matter, go to the job, come back, plug in, and never have a relationship with God. Because it's on occasion when you get around to it, you might pop into church once in a while, or you might, maybe in your life, you might pick up a Bible once, but it's just not one of those things that's that important, because what's really important is that making sure that the bills are paid, making sure that the retirement account is puffed up, making sure that the kids' college funds are paid for. And yet no one sees what's really happening. That's a worship. It's a worship. Can you imagine if someone gave that much dedication to faith in God that they give to the worship of their job, of their college funds, for their kids, for the mortgage on their home, for the retirement account that they'll spend as long as they're alive when they get there, and then who knows how long they'll be alive? That's the trap. And it's one of the biggest traps that's ever been set. And it's one that there are consequences for. And the worst part about those traps is most people don't realize they're in it, but that doesn't remove them from accountability. Each person has a choice in life. And this is one of the hardest things that people in this day are dealing with. And we're dealing with it right now on this choice of this pinprick injection. No one is forcing that injection on anybody. They're pressuring people, but forcing they're not. Those out here that are in jobs and the employers are saying, you must do it. That's applying pressure. You have a choice. You're not trapped. You can leave. And that's just it, is people aren't seeing that they have a choice. Everything in this world is tangible and mechanical. You'll hear things like, I can't get out of my job. I need my job. Okay. Have you accepted Christ in your life? That should be the first question. And from there, in that relationship, in that moment, you have to decide whether you're going to put your faith in God or whether you're going to put your faith in the resume and the job postings and a variety of other things. See, this whole thing is so upside down. I mean, this is, and it's always centers on me versus God. And there's a choice that everyone is making now, a choice of whether you want to be walking with God or whether you're going to take the pinprick. That same worship is going to be the same worship that you've done. You're either going to follow that path in your life where you've done it all your life. You've worshiped the 401k. You've worshiped the job. You've worshiped the career title. You've worshiped the status of the house, of a particular house in a particular neighborhood. You've worshiped the status of a car, a new car. You've worshiped all these things. And with that is one path. And another path is where you put God first. Nowhere in there does God say not to have nice things. He doesn't say that. It doesn't go in your contract and says, okay, you can't have a new car. You can't have a house. You can't. That's not what's being said here. And when people hear these messages and they start, because there's guilt. I love this, because when you put this to people who are guilty in their heart, then they start to defend their actions. I bought this new house because I bought this new because I got in debt because being in debt is part of it. You weren't supposed to be in debt. None of us are supposed to be in debt. It's a working thing. The relationship is with God. The relationship is how God guides you. And when we stay within the scripture control, with scriptural boundaries, if you will, there should be no debt. We should be living this life free of debt because the debt is the entrapment. And then we need to be living in a place where we're putting God first in all things. Then life becomes fairly simple. And in this day and age, simple is good with the complexities and sanities we have around us. And it really comes down to this. When you walk in this path with God, if you put God first in all things and you trust in that path, then there's nothing else to worry about because God has told you that. Don't trust in me and I will provide all you need. All of this roots back to where we are placing our worship in our life. And our worship can't be the temples. Our worship can't be the things. Our worship can't be the salary. Our worship can't be the retirement account. Our worship has to be with God in all things first. And when we place that and what we're here for, our role isn't accumulation. Our role is to expand God's kingdom. And when we put that as our principal place, everything that you do needs to be reevaluated. Our role is to expand God's kingdom. And it's not like it's not a negotiation. It's not like we're sitting here going to say, okay, well, I'm doing this job in this way that has no purpose in my life, but I'm doing it because of this. When we are in alignment with God, everything that we do, everything that we are about is in alignment with a simple purpose, to expand God's kingdom. If you're a parent, stay-at-home mother, stay-at-home dad, whatever that is, and you're raising your children, the ultimate goal is to raise your children to the love of God and the expansion of the kingdom. And to open up their gifts and talents to as many things that they can do so they can do the same. When we set ourselves onto the path of what I call right work, it's getting away from the corporate yokes and setting your path on the making a living using the gifts and talents God gave you to expand God's kingdom. This is the big reset. This is ultimately what at the core of the Great Awakening, as I see it, is there. Because when we are there and understand those principal issues, and we understand the power of walking in that place where everything that we do is to expand God's kingdom, to honor Him in glory in all that we do, and that is where we truly walk within the body of Christ, everything about our world takes on a different meaning. Everything about our relationship to the world takes on a different meaning. And the foundation which we stand in never puts us in vulnerability of the influences of a deceptive system. That deception that is around us, that we allow ourselves to be trapped by, goes to the place because in the end of the day, our worship is misplaced. And when our worship is placed towards the material and the physical, those messages that they're putting at you make you feel vulnerable, influence your direction, steer you off course. But when that worship ultimately sits on one thing, the expansion of God's kingdom in all things that we do and living through the body of Christ, there is nothing that can be said in the news. There is nothing that can be said by a friend, there's nothing that can be said by work, no threats that can be made that change that path. That means that those that speak from the pulpit that lie about Scripture, trying to tell people that this injection is somehow scriptural, that does not draw you into their words. You're staying true with God. When someone tells you that you, if you're good and you do certain things and you take all of you get your injection, we'll open up businesses again. You open up your business anyway, because it's not theirs to tell you. Your relationship is to God, especially in this country, since we have inalienable rights given to us by God. All of this is centered every day in our walk with our relationship with God. And when we get back to that fundamental issue, most of the consternation, most of the doubt, most of the confusion that sits in our world goes away. Our path clears up. We have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we experience the greatest gift, which is freedom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these times that we come together to reflect each day on the wisdoms that sit within the text and the scriptures, the wisdoms that you place within our hearts. Lord, we pray this morning for the alignment in our lives of all things to worship you, to expand your kingdom, and to truly live within the body of Christ. Not to be deceived, not to be pulled away, not to be controlled by the promises of the material things and the yokes of debt. Not to be pulled away by the idolatry of worship of status, of things we wear, in the perception that others have of us, but instead find the true strength within us of that true children, your child, a child of you that can walk in this world knowing the true gifts that sit within us that are far beyond anything a material culture can provide. Gifts of healing, gifts of love, gifts of unity, and gifts of strength. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's a time in our lives that resetting back to that relationship with God is going to be really the only thing that'll get us through this maze of lies, this post-truth era that we live in. There's nothing that we see out here in the news. There's nothing that we are witnessing in the word of the leadership that we can trust. Not one leader in any country, not one leader in any country has spoken out against an injection that is killing people every single day. That means that everything is corrupted. And that means that we have to reset back to our most powerful strength, which is our relationship with God, to work together to rebuild a nation from ground up based on our belief and in God. In the words, in God we trust, and to ensure that everything we do is built in a way that we honor him in all things of, in expanding his God's kingdom and living in the body of Christ. All of our leadership, every bit of it, that stands now silent in this time, speaks nothing about this injection. I don't care who they are. If they are not speaking out about this, what is happening to humanity in the process of this, as far as I'm concerned, they are guilty of one of the biggest crimes in human history. And silence is part of that crime. They are advocating the destruction of humanity. And ultimately, as we are reminded, Vengeance is God's. So vengeance is mine, he says. I will repay, says the Lord. And he will. But our alliance, our worship, our belief has to be with God himself. Have a blessed day. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. This time in particular, our relationship with God has to be forged every day, strengthened every day, humbling ourselves before him and then the rising up each day to stand boldly in this day. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always with us. And in the end, God always wins. So I'll be back at the top of the hour with Storm Dispatch for the, I guess we're now calling it a walk in the park. It's Friday at the Park with Bards. A little bit of a rant that I think we'll all enjoy today. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
What the night